We're going to go in to be back in 2 Peter chapter 1 today. I say that every week as a huge spoiler alert. Is everybody there? Okay. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be verse 7 again today. Last week, just a quick recap. Brotherly kindness, of course, is the important mark of the brethren. The world knows that we belong to Christ because why? We love each other. There's much more we could dive into there, but we're going to look at another very important attribute today. And once godliness is defined and practiced and brotherly kindness is understood, these are the basic foundations of the next word in this verse, which is, of course, charity. So read with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "Unto godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." Charity at its core is defined as generosity and helpfulness, especially towards the needy and suffering. So we are right within the holiday season. We're in the heart of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the New Year. So you are going to be hearing a lot in the next month and a half about charity. What is a charity? A nonprofit organization that donates money to whatever they choose. Subsequently, you are also a nonprofit charity that donates these money to these charities. And so a charity doesn't exist without our charity, correct? So this is a word you're going to hear a lot during the holiday season. And so when you think of the word charity, it's not simply generosity towards what Walmart or McDonald's asks you to round up for. Think with me about all these new and exciting, shall we say, programs to help people be more efficient in the community. These are charitable organizations more so than not. The first thing they're told to do in these is to be get involved in the community. All these organizations, say like Seth, you're a business owner, you're a sole proprietor for the community of Patterson and Piedmont. And so you have Seth there. So if a market person was to come to Seth and say, you know what you need to do to grow your business is to advertise in the community. And so what you need to do is you need to find somebody that's sick, somebody that's dying, and then post on Facebook that 40% of your profitable proceeds are going to go to this person to help with all that. This would be seen as a charity of Miller Custom Name Logs because you're giving to this person. So when you think charity, that's automatically think it's money being given to a good cause. That's the general definition of what the country thinks of it today. And so through doing that, he would drum up business because people will give in order to, it's like they won't give to this person directly, but they'll buy something from you because it's self-validating that they've given to something that is charity. So whether you're a politician, business owner, or overall well-to-do people, they donate or work for a charitable organization, and its purpose is to show their benevolence to people using their money to show their benevolence and overall good nature to mankind. That is what charity usually is, what comes to mind when they do it. Because charity is a word that's thrown around a lot for the use of monetary means to fulfill a need in someone else's life. We went through charity and memorized the charity chapter last year. And I think it really unlocks some things about charity for a lot of us, especially when you're reading through it and you're doing it. So keep that in mind as we go through this, because we're actually going to read a good portion of that scripture. But first, you have to understand what people are looking at when you say charity. You're supposed to add to your brotherly kindness charity. And so if I were to say that as a broad blanket statement, this is usually what to be more giving, more generous, more benevolent to the poor. That's generally what comes out. For instance, I wrote this down. There was this gentleman that came out on Twitter and said that I'm going to donate $124 million to charity between now and Christmas Day. Tweeted that out. Of course, all the responses were hilarious, including this guy was visited by three spirits last night. You know, so that, I mean, it's almost unbelievable that this person was going to give out this much money to charities. Not people, to charities, organizations, nonprofits like St. Jude's and like Ronald McDonald House and stuff like that. So he was seen as an extremely charitable human being for at least 25 minutes on Twitter. Usually this is something done that is used for a publicity stunt or out of some great moving need that stirred the emotions. Think with me again about a great organization called GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. How do you think they keep their doors open?
Yeah, they
pay
10%.
Of what? Out of people's charity.
Right.
How about that one? How does the charitable people give to GoFundMe? They don't just... Okay, you know how you can tell a scammer's profile by you scroll up, they don't have a profile picture or description, correct? Okay, well, the same thing's about GoFundMe. If there wasn't a picture, an inspirational video, a big long story explaining how bad this person's off, you know, there would be no charitable donation for them to take 10% from. So they use this to tug at your heartstrings in order to get into your wallet to keep this going. Because we would never just give money to somebody individually. We have to give it through a foundation that takes a percentage of it. All of them do it. So now that we've covered that pretty much anyone can fulfill the meaning of charity as it's seen, are we good enough by saying it's enough giving enough money or having enough good faith? It's pretty shallow. Because then anybody could, in fact, fulfill this task, if not around the holidays when it, quote, matters most. In fact, the holidays has often popularized this symptom of charity, if you will. If people, you know, someone who usually doesn't give money gives money, they're like, oh, I guess I'm feeling charitable today. I just see the point in it today. How do you feel charitable 1 second, and then you fail to feel it any other minute of the day? That is because charity has become more of an emotional type of giving instead of a dedication and attitude of the heart, which is where we're going to differentiate it today, of course. It says in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. If I were Catholic, I would use that verse to cover indulgences because it covers a multitude of sins. And obviously, if charity is the giving of money, well, then buying something would cover the multitude of sins, correct? Or if it's having enough good faith, or if it's having enough of this, that, or the other. If having fervent charity among yourselves, which means we should all give each other money. This is sounding more and more like a Charlie Brown special over a church sermon now, because it's all about money, money, money. It's not, we've completely lost it in the fact that charity is used as a leverage for money. Whether an organization, a store, a good story even, you use it to leverage financial gain. Even around churches, they come to churches, why? Because they're charitable. So does anybody come to the church needing charity when they're just having a bad day? Or are they coming to the church for charity when they need a bill paid, need some food, need some of that? Because it has been ingrained in them that charitable organizations give you things. That's not what the church is. It says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is a top priority for Christianity, and it always has been. But it has nothing to do with donating that money to St. Jude's like we talked about last week, where they look at you real funny when you say, no thanks, not today. I'll feel charitable tomorrow. Everything we just talked about is how charity is perceived and interpreted by the world. But why do you suppose it is terribly, terribly wrong? Well, thanks for asking. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3, first of all. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So go through this step by step with me here. Speaking softly or being a motivational speaker, including printing coffee cups, to say, you can do this. You got this. I understand you. I know you didn't mean it that way. You're fine. You're fine. It'll be fine. That does absolutely nothing for the principle of charity. Being an encourager or a Facebook influencer or whatever it is you want to do does not harness charity, because that alone does nothing for what this truly is. It says right here, it says, I am as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And that's with the tongues of men and of angels. I mean, he is speaking good words. But he has not charity. It's just noise. Being able to preach well or prophesy while untangling the, quote, great knowledge of the scripture means nothing. Being up here and delivering a message from the Bible and being able to orate it perfectly to where you understand it touches your heart, but I do it not for your benefit or God's benefit or the church's benefit. I do it because I want you to know how good of a speaker I am. I have not charity. It means nothing. Simply noise. Being able to be a great man of faith means nothing. Giving everything you make to the poor and needy means nothing. Everything Paul said here is what we would define as a really good person. Being a man of faith where he could move entire mountains. I mean, he has got everything it takes, but no charity. He could move entire mountains to make, and we would believe him, but he'd be missing that aspect, which means nothing. More importantly, he would be the best church member ever in that he gives everything he makes to feed the poor, take care of the needy. He rounds up that extra dollar at McDonald's, even though it's one penny. He takes care of St. Jude's at Walmart. He donates everything. He takes care of the church. He takes care of the pastor. Buys him a steak dinner every time he can. But he does it with no charity. And it means nothing. Think back on everything we've talked about. We have talked about, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. All this you have incorporated into your life. But if you fail to incorporate charity, it means absolutely nothing. Why do you suppose that charity is so important? If you'll remember, we just went over all that. And it certainly fits the world's definition of charity. The speech, the giving, everything. It fits perfectly. But it doesn't fit God's version of charity, what charity actually is. It fits the means and the parameters of being charitable, but now it is where we understand why it's dead last and what's added to this character of faith. Faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and kindness, charity. It just seems like this would be a baseline for all of that. It just feels like that, because in the very being of being charitable, don't you think that you have to stop and think? Don't you think you ought to temper your knowledge back a little bit? Give them a little grace, if you will. Don't you think in being charitable you're showing godliness? It just feels like it's terribly out of line there. It should be like maybe one, two, third at the very worst. But see, charity done outside of every other one of those is not conducive to godliness. You must first have godliness to bestow brotherly kindness and to bestow charity everywhere you go. You see, we'll be kind and courteous and sacrificial as we go through our walk and growth with Christ, and the fruits of the Spirit will be made manifest, because this is the state of your heart as you walk through your life. It's like trying to grow a tomato plant without the correct soil and without watering it. You haven't made preparation at all. You haven't readied the ground. You haven't broken the ground. You haven't nurtured the ground for this to grow. You need to add to your faith all of these things in a row, add to virtue, add to knowledge, patience, temperance, all of it, before this can truly be a part of your life. If you try to jump ahead, you miss something. In fact, you miss a big something. Imagine, if you will, having knowledge and charity. Why do you do it? Because you just know to do it. This is just what we're supposed to do. This is just how we're supposed to act. This is just how we're supposed to give money. See how much you miss there? Because in your everyday life, you don't... Everything is not... It's like I tell people in the service drive, I can train you principles, but I can't train you for situations. Because, let me tell you, it's new every day. Same thing in your life. You can learn principles, but without the wherewithal and the ability to apply principles to make decisions, you're lost. That's why so many people are so... I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. They just look totally ignorant because they have failed to learn the principles it takes to function in life. They don't take the principles of God. They take the rules of God, and that's how they live their life. They just take their little box, and that's how they live their life. They run into something. Well, why do you do this? Well, because it says right here, do this. Well, how do you know that's right? It's like me when you try to plan something really sudden. Completely shakes them. Because they can't take the principles, the knowledge, and the relationship with God to say, I know that because God says this, which applies here, and guides my life in this way. So we can't apply charity without understanding these previous traits because we completely miss what's in there for us to use. Godliness is how the world should see us. Brotherly kindness is how we should treat each other. And charity is the state of our heart that is pivotal to the Christian walk. Continue reading briefly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 4. It's going to be lengthy. We're going to go through verse 10. Hope you brought your readers today. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. He's going back through what he said previously. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. All the Pentecostals hate that verse. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That is lengthy reading to say that charity is the formation of what this whole chapter in 2 Peter truly is. This isn't some great accomplishment we've unlocked. It's the end of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. It requires virtue. It takes knowledge. It needs temperance. It is built on patience and godliness. And it all comes together for this. Charity. A selfless, serving, giving attitude. Not for the betterment of ourselves or for the glory of others, but because that is what God is. We want to remember that God sent His Son on Christmas Day, correct? Us as Christians, that's what we'd like to remember. But we don't want to remember how selfless and how considerate and how giving we ought to be all year round. Why do you think the spirit of Christmas was created? Christians absolutely killed what Christmas was all about because we refuse to reflect Christ year round, but we want to remember Him this one day of the year, this one season of the year. All the worldly Christmas movies are, let the spirit of Christmas live on in your heart so that you know how to live year-round. Because Christians won't. Even people in a dying world want to remember how men ought to be to each other. And how sad is it that they can't even rely on God's people anymore to show it to them. Because we want to jump ahead. We want to live in rules. We want to live outside of principles because principles maintain standards. Rules can be manipulated. Charity is not something that is simply shown to the world, but it ought to be in our hearts towards each other even more so. Personal example, that comes to mind is I know somebody who will give their shirt off their back to anybody on the street. A civil warrior is what they would call them today. They speak at events. They know what's wrong with politics. They know, which they don't go either way, by the way, because that's a new thing. We're not for any party anymore. They speak at events. They tell you what's wrong with the politics. They tell you what's wrong, what we need to really correct our homelessness or hunger problem or supply chain issues. They know what the problem is. But when it comes to their family, they deserve absolutely nothing because they were raised better. They've done it to themselves, or my personal favorite, they know how to do it themselves. It only applies to the family. They don't want to talk to them. They don't want to do nothing for them because these other people that are out on the street don't know nothing about it. And they may not. Not saying nothing against them, as strictly the attitude had in that person. The treatment of others changes because of how we know them. And it's very much the same in our lives. We seem to push people aside, ignore them because they're dramatic, or they're just going through another phase, or that's just so-and-so, that's just the way they are, you just got to let it roll, let it ride. We begin to solve their life problems through our own wisdom because we know them better than God, so we'll give them charity when they straighten up. How very sad for the people of God to be this way towards their close loved ones. We want to be spiritual warriors for everybody else, but we refuse to display charity to all those in our life. Who really matters? Why do you think brotherly kindness comes before charity? You need to learn how to be towards the ones you love, the church, the ones you're associated with first. Nail that down. Because people, honestly, they don't care what you do for other people when they see you treating the church the way you do. That's why the Bible says that they will know you because you love the brethren. Brotherly kindness. It's direct treatment of the church among yourselves. And when they, just like we talked about last week, you talk bad about them. You want to give them all the dirt about the people in your church. You want to say, yeah, they're all right, but I keep my distance because they're just weird. And then you want to go out and you want to be charitable. Oh, let me get your meal for you, bud. Oh, here, I don't need this anymore. Or here, I bought you a new coat. I noticed you had a rat. Oh, that's cool, man. It relates directly to just how they see everybody else's charity in that now they owe you. Because that's the way you operate with your church. That's the way you operate with your friends. That's the way everybody operates in their mind. You've shown them no different. Charity is not out for itself, nor is God out for himself. We ought not be out for ourselves. This is a trainable trait that needs to be in our mind on a daily basis, and it needs to be practiced by the hour. Before we lose our cool, remember charity. Before we go off on this person because they deserve it, remember charity. Before we poke fun or make light of people's problems, remember charity. A word said in charity will be remembered, and a word said without charity will be even more remembered. People remember when you're uncharitable than when you're charitable. In fact, some of my favorite memories of people is when they were uncharitable. But it takes me a second to sit there and say, well, I remember that. When someone says, oh yeah, Mike, I remember him. And then they go on to tell you the worst experience they've had with them. It's very rare that I get people when you mention so-and-so at work or so-and-so out in public. Oh, yeah, they did this to me once. But, it doesn't matter. They're a good person. They're a nice guy, but this is one time. Remember charity in these moments. Speak, act, and live within the bounds of charity and what charity is to God, which is the true charity of the believer. It's the treatment of others, as well as the testimony of your God. People see God in you, but not if you don't live out what God truly is. What kind of testimony are you giving God right now? What kind of testimony do you give the church right now? What kind of influence could you possibly have right now without everything? And just keep thinking about it. What if you had virtue and charity? Virtue just means the steadfast ability and decision to do right. So we have that, and we have charity. So if we deem it wrong to give to this organization, we tell everybody why it's wrong to give to this organization without the knowledge, patience, and temperance to hold up on that, we've given God a bad name. What if we just had knowledge and charity, and we knew why everybody should get what they deserve, but we'll decide who gets what they don't deserve? Because then it's your benevolence. You're giving God a bad name. There's a very specific reason these attributes are commanded in the Bible to add in that order. As they build upon another, the testimony of God only gets better. And in turn, the church gets stronger, just like the final two are almost all about the church. And you get stronger. The family gets stronger, the church gets stronger, God's body gets stronger. Add charity. Remember it before you don't use it.